If you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse number 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. The message this morning is, I'm going to do my very best to convey something that's on my heart and get it into your heart. That's a challenge to do. Some people call it vision casting. I guess you could just call it teaching. How many teachers do we have? If you're a teacher, or if you're a parent, you're a teacher. But some of you are professional teachers. You got teaching degrees, that type of thing. You understand this. In order to accomplish your purpose, you can't just stand up in front of people and talk. That's not teaching. Teaching is when somebody that's listening gets what you have in your heart. If you're a math teacher, it's when they get what multiplication is or what a square root is or some of that other stuff that I forgot how to say is, all right? The sines and tangents and cotangents, and I don't even want to think about that. It just makes my stomach turn kind of thinking about taking tests, you know, trigonometry and calculus and things. But it's when they get it. If you're an English teacher, it's when they get it how you're supposed to write this sentence. As a Bible teacher and as a preacher, what I want to do is I want to help you to get it. So it's not just me standing up here and, you know, swinging my arm around for 30 minutes or whatever it happens to be, and then us say that we left and, wow, I went to church this morning. I want you to get it. There's something I want you to get, and that's why we made this picture here. Our theme for this year, saved, sure, and serving. It's more than just a picture. This theme is a vision. It's a direction. It's a goal for each and every person here. My goal for you, if you're not saved, is to get saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on so much. You're missing out on eternal life that starts the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're missing out on a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're missing out on eternity in heaven with God. I don't want you to miss that. If you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to be saved. And that's what that first part is. Our goal for our community is to reach as many people in our community and with the Gospels we can. We want them to be saved. That's why we have soul winning. That's why we have outreach programs. We want them to be saved. We want to share the Gospel with somebody. We want to teach them how to be saved. So this is a vision, but it's also a process. And not salvation is not a process. Listen, if you'll come tonight, I'm teaching on the differences between the New King James Version and the King James Version of the Bible. We have a series. We're about done with it. Why we use the King James Version. I'll be teaching that tonight. And tonight you're going to notice a difference between the New King James Version. It says that you will be becoming saved. The Bible says you will be saved. I'll show you that tonight, a little bit more information on that. So this is a process. Salvation is not a process. Jesus died on the cross. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saved. You're done. You can be sure. And that's our next word that we want to really, really focus on this year. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're saved, you need to be sure. You need to learn what the Bible says so that you can know. There's no way I can lose my salvation. There's no way I can ever be separated from the love of God. Being sure has to do with going through a discipleship. It has to do with fellowship with other Christians, because the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. So our process that we want to incorporate this year, and I believe it's going to help all of us to grow and reach more people with the Gospel. It's going to help us to become better disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's going to help us to reach new people and help them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. It's saved and then sure. It's learning. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we want to make sure we're saved. We want to be sure, and then we ought to be serving. So it's not just a cute picture. This is a theme that is going to define how we serve God at New Heights Baptist Church this year, and not just this year, but into the future. You may remember our purpose has had four parts. Well, first of all, we want to glorify God. We want to glorify God by, you may remember this, reaching the lost, discipling Christians, and strengthening families. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about reaching the lost, discipling Christians, that is sure, and serving has two parts to it that we're going to be focusing on. Ministry to our family. You know, our families are the building block of our society. Families are the building blocks of our nation. Families are the building blocks of our church. So we want to be saved, and we want to be sure, we want to grow, we want to learn, but then we want to serve. We want to be involved in ministry. We want to see families strengthened as families are ministering to one another within their family, but then we want to minister to others through our church. So we want to take this theme, saved, sure, and serving. We want to get real familiar with it. We want to be so familiar with it that we can explain it to somebody that says, hey, what's your church about? Well, saved, sure, and serving. We want to make sure everybody gets saved. We want to make sure that everybody that gets saved becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ and grows as a disciple. Then we want to make sure that everybody that's a member of our church, everybody that's a part of our church, everybody that's saved is involved in ministry, serving God through our church. So that's what that's about, and that's what our message is about. Matthew chapter 16, if you would turn there, verse number 13. I already preached half of my message, and I did it all out of order. So let's see what happens here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to go back in time with me to this moment where Jesus was with his disciples. The Bible says they came to this place of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked his disciples, hey, what are people saying about me? Who are people saying that I am? Now, you know that Jesus already knew what people were saying about him. Why would Jesus ask the disciples a question that he already knew the answer to? Well, if you're a teacher, why do you ask students a question that you already know the answer to? You want them to think about it. You want them to process this fact in their mind. So he asked them, well, who do people say that I am? Some people were saying he was John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Now you may remember that Herod got upset at John the Baptist and threw him into prison because John the Baptist was preaching against some things that Herod was doing that were wrong. Herod's stepdaughter danced in front of him, and he said, I'll give you anything that you want. And she said, I want John, because she asked her mom, she said, I want John the Baptist's head. I want you to kill him. And that would be the gift that I want. Well, Herod did that. Herod killed John the Baptist, and then Jesus came preaching and doing these miracles. And Herod said this, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth himself in them. Some people thought Jesus was John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been a great preacher, and he was a prophet. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he'd been preaching and telling people that they needed to repent, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so then Jesus comes along, and Jesus is preaching, and Jesus is healing. Some people thought he was John the Baptist. Some people were saying that he was Elijah. Maybe because of the way that he the authority he had and how he was fearless as he faced the religious leaders. When I picture Elijah, I picture this fearless guy. He stood before King Ahab, and he stood before the soldiers that came to arrest him. That was back in the book of Kings. But some people were saying Jesus is Elijah. Some people were saying he was Jeremiah. Maybe that was because of his compassion for the people. Jesus, at one point, he was there, and he looked out over Jerusalem, and he wept, and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times or how often I would have gathered you together. And maybe people saw that side of him, and they saw how he had compassion as his healing, and they said, this must be Jeremiah, or maybe one of the other prophets. Then Jesus asked his disciples this question, who do you think that I am? You told me what everybody else thinks, but who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And as he asked the disciples this, there's the 12 apostles that were there. The Bible doesn't give us any details how this happened, except that Peter answered, I wonder what it was like. Jesus looking at them and saying, who do you say that I am? Do you picture the disciples kind of looking at each other, not wanting to give the wrong answer? Maybe, I don't like those quizzes, those tests where the teacher calls you out and like in class and says, Dave, what do you think the answer is? I hate that. Because I'm scared I'm going to get the answer wrong. Right? I hate being singled out. Don't you hate being singled out? Ryan, don't you hate being, isn't it awful? I hate it. So he singled, here's what happens. He says, who do you say that I am? And then Peter speaks up. Peter speaks up and answers. But let me ask you the same question before we get there. Who do you believe that Jesus is? Was he just a famous man in ancient history? Is he just a name that religions use to get people to follow them? I mean, a lot of religions do. They use the name Jesus and people follow them, right? Is that who Jesus was? Is he more than that? Now, Peter answers. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Peter answers. I don't know if he just answered. We're using teaching in classroom today, so I can picture this. I can picture Peter doing this. Pick me. I don't know if that's what he did. He probably just said it. That's just kind of how Peter was. He just kind of, you know, opened his mouth and put his foot in there sometimes. But he just said it. So Peter says that he said, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Peter was convinced he knew who Jesus was. He'd seen Jesus heal sick people. He'd watched as blind people got their sight, lame people walked, deaf people heard for the first time. Peter had been there when Jesus raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. He watched in amazement as Jesus freed people who were in bondage to devils, and he would cast the devils out. Peter had walked on water with Jesus. He had seen Jesus take the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people. He'd been following Jesus, listening to him teach. He was convinced he knew who Jesus was. And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right, Peter. And I know how you know the truth. You know the truth because God, my Father, revealed it to you. It was more than just the miracles. It was the voice of God. God, the Father, had revealed to Peter, had made it clear to him. Well, he had actually said that to everybody. Everybody that was there at the baptism of Jesus heard this voice from heaven. The Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God continued to speak in the hearts of people as Jesus was teaching and healing. And you know, God can use you in the same way. This is an amazing thing. If you'll choose to share the Word of God with someone who's lost, God will speak to their heart as you're sharing the gospel with them. It's an amazing way that God works. It's an amazing thing to work together with God to help Him accomplish the reason Jesus came to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter believed that. Then Jesus looks at Peter and he says something like this. The exact words that he said were this. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you picture Jesus looking right at Peter saying that? The fact that I'm Christ, the Son of God, is the foundation that I'm going to build something brand new on. I'm going to build my church. He didn't build it on Peter. He said, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. But he didn't say he was building it on Peter. Peter had just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, that's the rock I am building my church upon. And I'm going to build my church. And we know that Jesus is the rock. And I'm going to build my church. We understand something from that. A church is a special assembly of believers. It's a called out assembly of Christians. It's a group of Christians that belong to Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Listen to this. Which he hath purchased with his own blood. Think about this. God purchased this church when Jesus Christ shed his blood. Not this building, but the people. God purchased you when he shed his blood to die on the cross. And a group of Christians together make the church is Jesus' church. He said, I will build my church. And then you understand, he said he's the one that's going to build his church. Then he said, nothing, not even hell, can overcome it. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wow. Now all that to say this, our challenge this year is to allow Jesus to build his church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't believe that every Christian is part of a big group of the church. The word universal is also the word Catholic. And to say that every Christian belongs to the universal church, I think we're missing something here. Whenever the Bible talked about church in the book of Acts, the New Testament talked about churches. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. He was talking about that specific church. And I believe that Jesus wants to build his church here. The New Heights Baptist Church. I believe this is his church. We are his church. And he said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Our challenge this year is not to build his church. Get this. This is the heart that I'm trying to share. Our purpose is not to build his church. Our purpose is to allow him to build his church. We're going to go through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings this year. And I've already outlined quite a bit of it. I'm excited about this. As you look through the book of Acts, you see the disciples obeying Jesus. You see the disciples doing what God wanted them to do. And then you see the word and. And then you see him, the Bible saying, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And you see the word and the church multiplied. Our goal this year and going forward is not building a church. We want to build people. We want people to be saved. We want people to be sure. We want people to be serving. Our goal is to obey Jesus. We're going to learn how the first generation of Christians were able to be part of the fastest growing church in history. But we're not going to worry about doing the building. We're going to obey. We're going to learn how to obey. We're going to learn what that first generation of Christians did. And then we're going to let God build his church. We're going to allow him to do that with trying to stay out of his way as much as possible in some cases. We're going to let God take care of the building. We're going to follow the example of the disciples and this is big, catch this, and prepare to care for the growth that God gives us. If we will prepare for the growth that God could bring, God will bring the growth. Let me give you an example. We need to prepare for more Sunday school classes. We need to prepare for more people to be in our Sunday school classes. That means we've got to have people who are preparing to be teachers. That means we've got to have people that are really focused on the sure part. Learning what the Bible says. Learning the doctrines of the Scripture so that they will be ready to be able to move to the serving part and teach a Sunday school class. God's put a rather large number on my heart that we need to prepare for. I didn't think I was going to tell you, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. God's put a number of 400 on my heart that we need to prepare for. We've got about 120, 140 people coming to church right now. But if we had 140 people that were serving, we'd be ready to have the 400 people come in that we could serve. Our city is huge. In our metro area, we've got 800,000 people. They need to hear the gospel. They've got to have a place where they can come to church, a place where they can grow. And what I want to ask you to do, New Heights Baptist Church, make sure you're saved. Learn the Bible, study the Bible, go through discipleship, get in a Sunday school class, learn so that you can serve. Every one of us ought to be serving. Instead of thinking we've got a handful of people that can serve our church, we're thinking backwards. We need to be thinking we have a church who can be serving our community and reaching hundreds of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to be more than just saved and more than just studying the Bible, but I want to challenge you to minister, to serve. We're going to go back to basics. We're going to focus on salvation. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We call that the Great Commission. We're supposed to go into all the world and teach people how to be saved. And then once they get saved, teach them how to live the Christian life. Teach them how to tell other people how to be saved so they can teach somebody how to get saved and then somebody else can get saved. And we can see a lot of people get saved. That's the Great Commission. It's God's plan. Brother Adam was showing me, reminding me of an example that I'd seen. If one person would reach one person this year, and those two people each reached a person next year, the numbers work out that in 34 years, every person in the world would be reached. That's just every one of us reaching one person a year. Starting with just one person, we could reach this world with the gospel. God said we're supposed to reach this world with the gospel. Mark chapter 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a lot we can do to help our community. But if we don't teach them how to be saved, we're missing our greatest opportunity. Listen this morning, heaven and hell are real. Eternity's forever. Jesus died on the cross to give everlasting life. We've got to make salvation our first priority. We've got to make sure we're saved. Listen, if you're not saved this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you've got to get saved. If you don't get saved, you will die and you will wake up in a place the Bible calls hell. You've got to get saved. We need to reach our city with the gospel because they've got to get saved. We've got to make a priority of reaching the lost with the gospel. We're starting, I'm so excited about this. We're starting something on one Saturday a month. You may have seen it in the bulletin already. It's called Super Saturday Soul Winning. One Saturday a month. Now, we're going to continue every Saturday. We're going to meet. We're going to go out and share the gospel. One Saturday a month. I want to encourage everyone to be part of this. Super Saturday. We want 100% participation. I mean, every single member to come on Super Saturday and saturate a community with the gospel. Yesterday, we had five groups go out sharing the gospel because we had nine people at our soul winning. But what would happen if we had 60 people at soul winning? We could have 30 or more groups going out sharing the gospel. So here's what we're going to do. One Saturday a month, that's all I'm going to ask, to commit to one Saturday a month. We're going to go Super Saturday soul winning. We're going to canvas an area. We're going to share the gospel. And then we're going to have lunch at a park right there or somewhere close to the area where we just saturated with the gospel. We can spend some time together, have some fellowship. We're not going to take the whole day. It'll go from 10 till about 12 or 12:30. But one Saturday a month to spend 2 hours, possibly 3 hours, reaching our community with the gospel. You could do that. What could God do with our church if everybody would get involved? We're going to focus on soul winning. We're going to focus on fellowship and discipleship. That's the sure part. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. This starts with our 9:30 Sunday Bible study classes. If you're saved, you ought to be growing. Sure. And a great way to grow is to make sure you come to a Bible study class at 9:30. There's fellowship. You will grow as a Christian. You'll grow because of the fellowship. You'll grow because of the Bible that you're learning. Everyone should get involved in a Bible study class. It's a great place to grow as a Christian. It's also a great place to serve, which is that next part. Also, we have a lot of people going through our discipleship program right now. We've got so many people going through a discipleship program right now that our Wednesday nights, when we say, okay, discipleship program is dismissed, it's like half the church leaves. But that's good because we're learning. We're growing. We're getting ready for serving. I want to get everybody through our discipleship program. Here's what we're going to do. After you finish the first four lessons of our discipleship program, we're going to make a big deal about that achievement. And then we're going to start talking about where you can serve. We're going to make a plan. Which ministry team do you want to be part of? Where can you serve? Then we're going to focus on ministering to others. That's serving. Ministry to family. From the beginning of our church, family has been the priority. Families are the building blocks of our church and our nation. And then there's the ministry to others through our church. And I want to encourage every member to join one of the ministry teams. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be working to help everyone get involved in a ministry. We're going to make it real obvious which teams there are. And you can look for a team and you can sign up for a team. And we're going to develop this through this year. We're going to improve on it as we go. We may even improve on the picture as we go. And look, how can we do this better? How can we reach more people with the gospel? How can we make sure more people are at that sure stage and growing, going through discipleship? How can we get as many people involved in serving as possible? I want you to serve. You know, there's a lot of joy in serving others. Those of you that do serve others, those of you that have invested some time in that, you know it's work, and you know that it's tiring sometimes, but you know it's such a blessing. There's so much joy in there. Our theme is also our vision, and it's our process for making disciples of Jesus Christ. Every person needs to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then sure, every person who's saved needs to get baptized, join a church, and grow as a Christian. You can be sure you're saved. You can be sure you won't ever lose your salvation. You can be sure about what you believe. The Bible says that we're supposed to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. Are you sure? Have you learned enough of the Bible that you can be sure? Listen, I'm excited about this. If you aren't sure, if you say, you know, I'm saved, but I got a lot of questions. I don't know that I could serve. I don't know that I could make a difference. We've got a plan to help you to grow, to help you to be sure. I'm saved, and then telling them, hey, listen, our church is different from some of the other churches, and here's why. We've got a plan that's going to help you grow as a Christian, not just to get you in the church, but we want to invest in you. We want you to grow. And listen, I'm saying that to you this morning. I want you to grow. I want you to grow as a Christian. Don't be satisfied with just being saved and being glad that you're not going to die and go to hell one of these days. But let's get involved and let's serve. And we're almost done. Saved, sure, and serving. Either you're saved or you need to get saved. If you're saved, you need to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every Christian should be serving. So let's do our part to be faithful Christians and open the gates for Jesus to build his church. He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. As we go through the book of Acts, we're going to be starting next Sunday morning. As we go through the book of Acts, we're going to look, we're going to learn, what did that first generation of Christians do? And how did God respond? How did their lives change? How did their city change? How did God work? Father, thank you for letting us. Their city changed. How did God work? Father, thank you for letting us be able to have some time in your word this morning. Thank you that this is your church and you're going to build it. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us, the people of New Heights Baptist Church, to obey what you told us to do, to share the gospel, to help Christians to grow, to serve, to be involved in ministry. Lord, I pray that as we start this new theme, this brand new year, that you would use us, that you'd fill us with your